This week on the Electronic Intifada podcast, as the historic West Bank village of Battir faces irreversible damage due to Israel's plans to build the wall through farmland, even an Israeli state agency comes out against the wall's route. Also, a new report highlights the hidden health crisis for hundreds of thousands of Palestinian refugees in Lebanon, and news from the global boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, including how more than 200 New York University faculty and staff members are supporting the TIAA-CREF divestment campaign, and much more. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman, Associate Editor for the Electronic Intifada in Berkeley. Jillian Kessler-Damore reported for Interpress Service last week that the West Bank village of Battir remains under serious threat of irreversible damage to its agricultural lands and ancient archaeological heritage sites if Israel's plans for the expansion of its wall go forward. Kessler-Damore reports, quote, "Israel plans to build a section of its wall in the West Bank through the lands of Battir. Approximately 5,000 Palestinians currently live in the village, which sits just south of Jerusalem in the occupied West Bank. More than 75% of Battir is considered part of Area C, which, through the Oslo Accords, is under full Israeli military and civilian control. According to village residents, the wall would cut them off from one-third of their farmland. They are currently fighting Israel's plan to build the wall through their lands in an Israeli court and are awaiting a decision. Battir is a village being considered for protection as a World Heritage Site by UNESCO, the United Nations body for cultural heritage preservation. UNESCO officials have said that Battir's protected status is urgent because the village is under direct threat of irreparable damage by Israel. Furthermore, Kessler-Damore adds in her report that in mid-September, the Israeli media reported that for the first time, an Israeli state agency expressed opposition to the route of the wall. The Israel Nature and Parks Authority reportedly withdrew its support due to the damage the wall would cause to the landscape and local wildlife, and to Palestinian residents of Battir. The report states that Israel began constructing the wall in 2002. Still in construction, it is expected to span more than 700 kilometers, 85% of its length, will be built within the West Bank itself. According to the Palestinian human rights group Al-Haq, when completed, the wall will annex 530 square kilometers of Palestinian land, equivalent to the area of Chicago, the United States' third largest city. In 2004, the International Court of Justice found that the wall was illegal under international law and advised Israel to stop building it, to compensate Palestinians for damages and dismantle its existing sections. That was a recap of a report by Jillian Kessler-Damore for Interpress Service and published last week on the Electronic Intifada. For much more on this story, visit electronicintifada.net. We now go to Lebanon. IRIN, the United Nations Humanitarian News and Information Service, reported this week that public health researchers have revealed an expanding crisis in the health and well-being of the 400,000 Palestinian refugees living in exile in Lebanese refugee camps. Published in the British medical journal The Lancet, the report states that, quote, "discriminatory laws and decades of marginalization have left Palestinian refugees in Lebanon socially, politically, and economically disadvantaged. More than half of them live in increasingly overcrowded camps where, quote, the provision of housing, water, electricity, refuse, and other services are inadequate and contribute to poor health." Furthermore, the report states that medical and mental health services are scarce and inadequate, and many Palestinian refugees are forced to pay exorbitant costs for necessary surgeries and treatments. The researchers also found a strong link between poverty and ill health. Palestinian refugees living in Lebanon are ineligible for social services, including health care, and they are banned from some 50 professions. According to another study in the Lancet series by researchers from the University of Beirut, 59% of refugee households live below the national poverty line, 63% reported some food insecurity, and 13% were severely food insecure. Only the poorest qualify for food rations and small cash grants from UNRWA, the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees. That was a recap of a report we published this week from IRIN, the United Nations Humanitarian News and Information Service. For much more on this story, visit electronicintifada.net. And now we go to news from the global boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement. The Electronic Intifada recently reported that, quote, students for justice in Palestine's chapter at New York University produced a video in mid-September documenting the growing divestment campaign targeting pension fund giant TIAA-CREF. The campaign calls on TIAA-CREF to drop its investments in a myriad of corporations which profit from Israel's ongoing occupation and violations of Palestinian rights. According to the video, more than 200 NYU professors and staff have signed on to the TIAA-CREF divestment campaign. In the video, NYU faculty and staff passionately comment on why they're supporting the divestment campaign against backdrops of archival video footage documenting Israel's human rights violations in Palestine. Companies that TIAA-CREF hold investments in include Caterpillar, Elbit, Northrop Grumman, Veolia, and Motorola.
I do not want my retirement fund to finance the industry of war and the industry of oppression in the Palestinian territories.
200 faculty and staff
of New York University
have told TIAA-CREF to divest.
I, of course, oppose the Israeli occupation of the West Bank. It's illegal. It's a disaster for Palestinian people. It's a disastrous situation, incompatible with human rights, with democracy. And the idea that my money would be invested in and someone would profit from the occupation using my money is, of course, something that I think is just intolerable.
NYU's campaign calling on the pension fund giant to divest is part of a national initiative by various Palestine Solidarity and BDS groups. In June, TIAA-CREF announced that it had pulled $72 million of its shares in Caterpillar from its Social Choice Fund's portfolio, but the pension giant continues to hold more than $1 billion in Caterpillar investments in its general fund. In other news, the Electronic Intifada reported this week that Egyptian media collective Moiserin, which means "we are determined" in Arabic, has rejected an invitation to participate in the Creative Time Summit 2012 because of the event's partnership with an institution funded by the Israeli government, the Israeli Center for Digital Arts. The Creative Time Summit is a festival of public art, speeches, and forums and will run this week in New York City. In a statement which is available on the Electronic Intifada, Moiserin explained that, quote, "we cannot in good faith participate in the 2012 Creative Time Summit in adherence to the call for boycott, divestment, and sanctions launched by Palestinian civil society, and our own conscience as a political collective based on principles of social justice, equality, anti-racism, and anti-Zionism." For more on this story and other important news from the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, go to electronicintifada.net and check out our activism and BDS section. And that's it for our weekly Electronic Intifada podcast. For news, information, cultural features, and reviews, pointed opinion and analysis, and action alerts by our team of correspondents and bloggers, visit us online at electronicintifada.net. This week, be sure to check out our news features, including an op-ed by a former South African government official who says that, to a South African, the two-state solution, quote, sounds like apartheid. Also, Amina Salim comments on how the BBC denies Israel's occupation, several exclusive arts and culture reviews, our Gaza correspondent Rami Al-Megari reports on the recent meeting of the Model UN in Gaza City, a report back on the recent Russell Tribunal on Palestine in New York, Rachel Corrie's parents accept the Lennon Ono Peace Grant from Yoko Ono on behalf of their daughter, and in an exclusive investigation by the Electronic Intifada, an Israeli man who impersonated a Palestinian woman is linked to the Free Gaza Movement debacle, and much more. At electronicintifada.net, you can also post comments and sign up for our daily newsletter. Follow us on Twitter at Intifada. Radio stations are free to use this podcast, and a special thanks to Flashpoints and KPFA in Berkeley. On behalf of all of us at the Electronic Intifada, thank you for listening.